Crossroads Podcast. Morning, Crossroads. On the show today, we have back our very own Crossroads Police Department Police Chief Sean Short. Thank you for coming to the show today, Chief Short. A lot has happened since we last had you on the show. Growth all around us, and your department has held its very first successful Citizens Police Academy. I am just dying to find out how it went. Would you share with us today about the Crossroads Police Academy and give the listeners some updates on what Crossroads Police Department has accomplished since we last met?
Absolutely. We just finished up our first Citizens Police Academy. We had 18 of our Crossroads residents participate in this academy. It was an opportunity for us to introduce the police department to the community and the community members to meet our officers. We had an officer teach. Each class was a different officer instructing, and so there got to be some interaction, and everybody got to know each other somewhat. And so that was good. We really provided just a high-level overview of what police do in their community and gave a chance for officers and members of our community to get acquainted.
This is fantastic. And 18 people, that's great. So this is going to be a continuing process each year?
I anticipate we'll try to do one every year. We'll have to see what level of participation we get. Like I said, we had 18, and that was our first round. I'm hopeful that next year we'll have that kind of interest again. And if we do, we'll certainly put on another academy there.
All right, everybody out there, you heard him. Let's make it happen. If you want to find out what it takes to be a police officer, this is an ideal opportunity to do just that. Did you get a chance to schedule a day of ride-alongs?
We didn't do ride-alongs. Our department's relatively small, and it's really difficult to commit to doing that. So you'll hear some of the bigger departments are able to do ride-alongs. We just don't have the capacity for that in Crossroads.
Right. At this time, no.
No.
But possibly in the future, maybe?
Yeah, we might. As we grow, I think that might be something we could pull off.
Awesome. That would be a blast. When I was a kid, I used to literally ride along with my father. Of course, he, take me downtown to the coffee shop with the sheriff's officers and all that, where they all met. But, sure. He never took me on any calls. Yeah. But yeah, I just thought that was great, man. I got to ride in a patrol car. That was fun. Yeah. Well, I remember when my father was a policeman, he spent a lot of hours behind a typewriter typing out his reports and the mandatory paperwork associated with police work. And it was before the computer came out, so you can only imagine. So were you able to share that aspect with the students in the Citizens Academy?
We talked some about that. We had a class that was on investigations, and we'd had a class that was on evidence processing, and those are a lot of the paperwork intensive parts of police work. You mentioned typewriters, and we've moved a lot to automation with computers, and it's really helped a lot. The time that officers spend doing the paperwork is a little easier than what it used to be. There was a learning curve getting to the computerized systems, but it's working pretty well for us now in the modern era.
Yeah. My dad still has his old typewriter at the house.
A souvenir.
Yes, indeed. And he still type on it. He actually did He was pretty fast at doing the two-finger type, which is what most officers
There's a lot of people still do at that time.
Yeah. It was amazing. Well, Chief Short, what are some of the challenges that you run into as police chief here in Crossroads, and how do you overcome some of them?
Probably the biggest challenge in Crossroads is the same one that departments across the Metroplex are facing. It's getting quality people in the door, getting a good workforce that that aligns with the values of your organization and can provide the service that the community expects from us. You know, it's a very competitive market. The Metroplex is growing quickly, and getting staffed is difficult, and it's challenging whether you're a small community or a large community. But that's probably our biggest challenge here right now.
Yes, and I'll tell you what, everybody out there, anytime you're out and about and you see one of these men or women, wave to them, say hi. If you can, you know, buy them a cup of coffee or something, just hug them, let them know thank you for doing a great job for keeping our community safe. What advice would you give to parents whose children are starting to show interest in civil service, who want to become future policemen or policewomen?
Policing is a great profession, I think. It's a real opportunity to contribute in a positive way to society. And people that kind of embrace that that calling to protect the vulnerable from harm, I think cultivating that interest is really important. I guess a word of advice, developing some personal integrity is really key in a young person that's interested in becoming a police officer. There's a lot of other skills that can be useful. You know, you can't be a peace officer in Texas generally until you're 21 years old. So there's opportunities, whether it's going to college, going into the military, even things like working in retail where you deal with people a lot, helps you develop those skills to be able to communicate with people in sometimes stressful situations. And I think that's a good start for you.
Absolutely. Well, we've had a lot of residents in our HOA. The chatter about those flock cameras was just crazy. So to bring some clarification to that, would you share with not only the HOA here at Hillstone Point, but, you know, just in general other HOAs that also utilize this flock camera technology, about how it works, who monitors it, and how it helps you guys?
Right. The flock camera, it's actually a private company that partners with HOAs and police departments to help solve crimes. The cameras you see are pretty good quality cameras. They can capture license plate information. They can see faces. They're a good camera, and they're a good tool for us. We don't monitor them. I don't know what Flock does. I don't know if they monitor them or not. I don't believe they do. There's so many out there, I can't imagine that being practical. But if there was a criminal offense that occurred, we could go to Flock and ask them if they could retrieve some video. If we had a suspect vehicle and we knew generally what it looked like, they could go through and help us find that vehicle, and we may get a license plate out of that, and that may help us in solving the crime. So it's a useful tool. And a lot of HOAs and that sort of organizations are setting them up in their communities.
Do you know what the success rate of having those cameras has done to help bring resolution to incidents?
I don't know a rate. I know that there have been instances certainly in the Metroplex where limited information was available, and then a law enforcement agency was able to work with Flock to further develop that evidence and come up with a solve a crime that way.
So it's definitely a good thing.
It's a good thing. It's a valuable tool for sure.
All right. Well, you guys out there in Hillstone Point HOA, you heard it directly from the chief. Those cameras are there for a good reason, and be glad that they're there. All right. Well, we had an update from Denton County Road Commissioner, as I told you, Ryan Williams, 2 weeks ago, and we were wondering about what your take is on all this construction that's going on in and around Crossroads. After all, you're in it daily, just like the rest of us. Do you have any safety advice to give some of the residents here in Crossroads?
Well, we seem to be doing a little bit better on 380 as far as the crashes and that sort of thing. You know, TxDOT has been very responsive when we notice a safety concern and helping us get that resolved. They have a project manager who meets with us every month, and that part goes really well. As far as safety tips, I think it's really important people pay attention. We have a lot of rear-end collisions where people are just not watching, and they run into each other at the intersections. The other big one that we see is people trying to cross, make left turns on the 380. And especially with the expansion of the highway, it can be a long ways across there. And visibility sometimes with the construction, with the concrete barriers and all that, it can be obstructed. So being really careful when you're doing that is important.
Oh, yeah, I definitely, I wait for the light to turn green, and then I'm looking both ways, and then I'm crossing. I don't want to get hit again. I lost one car. I don't want to do that again. So is TxDOT working with Crossroads PD and other police departments in and around our area regarding the safety and the traffic flow? So if you guys come across an area which you think maybe could use a tweaking, are you able to notify them and let them know, hey?
Sure, absolutely. They have a project manager, and he's very receptive to anything. And we have, like I said, we have monthly meetings with him where he kind of gives us an update of what we can expect in the next 30 days in our piece of the project that may impact public safety or may impact the flow of traffic. Your question about are they responsive to problems that we notice? Absolutely. They're right on top of that sort of thing.
That's fantastic. I know Christy's real good about posting the updates on the town website. So if anybody ever wants to know what's going on, go to the town website first, town of Crossroads TX.org, and check those or find it fast, and then look for TxDOT updates, and you will go right to them, and Christy is real good about keeping those up to date and current. So I enjoyed that little get together we had for the volunteers this last Friday, didn't you?
Yeah, that was a nice event.
That was beautiful. I was so tickled pink. I'm going to do a special podcast talking just about that and talking about volunteering, and hopefully maybe we can gain some more momentum and get some more folks in the town actively involved with doing more with the town.
Sure.
As we're growing, because, I mean, we're growing fast. So what are some of your ideas and plans to kind of help the traffic flow better here in Crossroads?
Well, a lot of that is engineering. It's not really a police department function. Mm-hmm. So we rely a lot on TxDOT and what they're doing. We do enforce traffic laws to try to modify behavior as best we can and keep everybody as safe as we can. So that's kind of our role in the puzzle of traffic flow.
So in general, people should really kind of keep a mindful eye open and pay attention to when it says don't turn left.
Absolutely.
Don't turn left.
Absolutely.
Because you will get a ticket. And I understand it's a pretty hefty one, too. So you don't want to turn left. We used to have an officer, he would sit up there in the dentist parking lot where the emergency place is, and he probably would turn out about 5, maybe 6 tickets daily of people trying to do that left turn out of that driveway there by where the Whataburger is. And people would still do it. I mean, they're not able to do it now because it's blocked with a big concrete pylon. But if they could, I bet they would still try to do it. It's funny. Yeah. Yes, indeed. Well, is there anything that I may have missed that you would like to add today?
No, I appreciate the opportunity to visit with you today. Just know that your officers are here to support the community, and if there's things that we can do for you, certainly let us know.
Absolutely. Well, you heard it today from Crossroads Police Department Chief Sean Short. Thank you for sharing about your duties as the police chief today, and we wish both you and the great men and women that you support success as you help keep watch over our beautiful town. On some national news today, from the Daily Signal by Sarah Parshall Perry and Bethany Huang, dated April 10th, 2024, they're discussing trans juggernaut hits a speed bump. Landmark study reveals that these transgender kids actually have other mental health diagnoses instead. It's been a red letter week for destroying the gender narrative, and the trans juggernaut just hit another speed bump. Fresh off the heels of the National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics announcing that it would not allow transgender identified men to compete in women's athletic events in any of its association's 239 small private schools. A landmark study was released on Wednesday that defies the historical warning that if gender dysphoric adolescents don't receive gender affirming care, they will kill themselves. The new study from British pediatrician Dr. Hilary Cass confirms what we've always known. Children presenting with a sudden onset gender dysphoria are actually suffering from other mental health diagnoses, not true gender dysphoria. Her research debunks the gender ideologue's frequent talking point that the imposition of medical gender-affirming care on mentally ill children is not only necessary but life-saving. Cass' research instead reveals that children who think they are transgender disproportionately have mental health issues stemming from a difficult family situation or domestic abuse. They are also more likely to be neurodiverse and have a comorbid autism spectrum disorder. Cass reveals that gender-affirming medical interventions would not remedy any of these psychological issues. Effectively using such interventions would mean turning a blind eye to the real underlying psychological distress with which gender-confused children often struggle. Cass's groundbreaking report reveals that mental health therapy is the best approach for gender dysphoric children rather than rushing to put them on hormones or puberty blockers or performing mutilating and irreversible surgeries. Her report also warns that if children are permitted to make choices to physically and socially conform with their gender of choice, rather than receiving the necessary treatment for their underlying mental health issues, they will experience significant negative psychological repercussions. Yes, you read that right. Securing medical gender-affirming care creates the negative psychological repercussions gender identitarians warn us about, and the failure to receive it does not. At last, the narrative about adolescent gender dysphoria has started to crumble. Conservatives and gender critics have long warned against rushing to chemically castrate and mutilate gender-confused kids, advocating instead for the European approach of watchful waiting and mental health counseling. It seems they were right all along. Cass's report on gender dysphoria was the second damning study to be released in 10 days. It was launched soon after another study that breaches the once seemingly impenetrable dam of gender identity built by this White House, cultural elites, celebrities, and politicized medical groups. A Dutch study of 2,700 children revealed that a significant majority of gender-confused children grow out of that feeling by the time they are full-grown adults. This newly published research tracked adolescents for over 15 years and found that gender confusion in children drastically decreased over time, supporting the argument that when children believe they are transgender, it is often nothing more than a passing sensation and not indisputable fact. Both CASA's study and the recent Dutch study argue against transitioning kids who report gender dysphoria. Together, they advise for a holistic treatment of these adolescents, treatment which addresses the complex psychological reasons a child may think he or she born in the wrong body. Gender-confused children have been lied to, and the adults who have lied to them must be held accountable. The flood of litigation challenging these pernicious practices is only just beginning. That's right, folks. We need to watch out for our kids. They're under attack by these crazies, and it's time we put our foot down and say, enough is enough. Okay. Well, now, we want to thank you, Crossroads Town Council, for fixing those potholes on Fish Trap between 380 and 377. We look forward to the potholes between 424 and Oak Grove Parkway to be next. For up-to-date details on the status of various road projects throughout the town of Crossroads, visit crossroadstx.gov/road-projects. For local events, drop in at the Brass Tap here in Crossroads Wednesday, April 24th at 7 p.m. for some music bingo. Then pop back in on Thursday, April 25th at 7 p.m. for trivia night. Then come out and jam with live music select Saturday, April 27th at 8 p.m. Grab some great grub and chase it down with those amazing suds. The summer market is just around the corner, starting May 4th, 11th, 18th, 25th, June 1st, 8th, 15th, and 22nd, and 29th, July 6th, 13th, 20th, 27th, and August 3rd and 10th. If you want to participate as a vendor, go to the town website and enter market vendor in the search box, then scroll down to the 2024 Community Market Vendor application. Make sure to like us on our Facebook page, Crossroads Podcast. Become a supporter. You can pledge $3, $5, $8, or $10 per month. All proceeds will go towards the running of the podcast. We love hearing from you. If you have any questions or suggestions on topics, we'd like to hear about it. Email us at crossroadspodcast2023@gmail.com. Stay tuned soon, for Radio Theater will be coming. In the meantime, every Monday morning, tune in. We'll bring you amazing news and guests. Until next week, I'll see you at the top.
Crossroads Podcast.